Christmas. Happy holidays. 720 WGN and a happy Friday morning, Chicago. John Hansen and G Suki in today for Bill and Wendy. G, how you feeling right now?
I am feeling fantastic. So happy to be back here with you, and you are a ray of sunshine.
Oh, you are too, G. And you know, it's Friday, it's gloomy outside, but you know, for a lot of folks out there, this is the Friday. They got a few more hours of work and then they're bouncing, they're going somewhere. Well timed out with, you know, Christmas Eve and Christmas on a Monday and a Tuesday. A lot of folks probably aren't working until after the new year. I mean, those are lucky people, but...
Yes, I hope so. And for everybody, I hope they're not stressing out too much. I hope they're not rushing too much. Stay safe out there as you run your errands.
Right. And tell you what, the world's burning where the government's going to shut down, you know, in a few hours and all this stuff. But we're going to be your ray of sunshine for the next 2 hours. We're going to stay away from some of that stuff. We're trying to ease you into the holiday break, right?
Yes. Only happy thoughts.
Only happy thoughts. And we want you to join the conversation, 312. 981-7200. You can talk, you can text, whatever you want to do. We always prefer if you call on in, though. A little bit later in the program, we're going to talk with Alexander Zalbin, the manager and editor of Decider.com. I'm going to talk about all things TV. It'll be a big week for binging on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon for a lot of people, so we'll have a chat about that sort of stuff. But we're actually going to jump right into our first guest, Jamal Cole. You've been on GN many times before. Your first time here at 303 East Wacker, Jamal, right?
Yeah, it's the best green room I've ever seen in my life. Oh, beautiful. You.
Can you say that again slowly? The PPG Paints green room.
Best green room I've ever been in my life. You got the view of the river. You got the city view. It's amazing, man. I love it.
Yeah, Jamal Cole, the founder of My Block, My Hood, My City. I think a lot of people, thanks to, you know, you always coming on whenever you are able to do so. For those of the listeners that may not know, remind folks what My Block, My Hood, My City is.
It started while I was volunteering at Cook County Jail. A lot of kids, when you ask them where they're from, they say, my block is 21st Street. They say, my hood is a low in. And I say, y'all say that like y'all own something. Why don't y'all say my city? And when you peel back that onion, you realize they had never waved for a taxi before. They had never been downtown. You know, they order their food every day through bulletproof glass windows. Like, their whole worldview is shaped by their block or their negative or their neighborhood. And that's an under-resourced community. So that's tragic. I wanted to take these teenagers outside of their comfort zone and expose them to different cultures, professions, and cuisines. And I call it My Block, My Hood, My City Explorers Program.
So what sort of activities do you guys do when you are exploring the city?
Yeah, we can take them to a chiropractor to learn about sports medicine. You got to understand, like, most kids that we talk to want to be rappers and basketball players, but we can take that same kid to Gatorade and they'll learn about consumer engagement. Like, they never knew that job existed prior to us taking them there, so now it's possible. We might take them to, we might go to the Hallis Hall and everybody wants to play football, but when you take them to the Bears Stadium, they learn about the marketing, the product shots. They learn there's so many other things you can do besides catch a football.
And your story growing up is a fascinating one, and it really helped form this idea of exploring other areas, right?
Yeah, for sure, man. I come from an under-resourced community in North Chicago, and getting to college, my guidance counselor told me I should go to the trade school, go to Army. I didn't have the grades, so I stole a book from her office that said All-American Colleges, and I took it home. I applied to Wayne State College. They accepted me. I told my parents I was going to college. My mom said I was trying to be white. I told my friends I was going to college. Got my jaw broke on the block. I told my dad I was going to college, and he stole a U-Haul truck and drove me to Nebraska. So that's how I got outside of Chicago. But it was a interesting story.
And did you just flip through the book to find the one you wanted to go to?
God had a plan for me. I just opened the book up and I just ripped the page out. And I was actually mad it said Wayne State, Nebraska. I wanted to go to New York or somewhere warm. I was
You're like I'm going to open that book again. Yes. Through another page.
That was my Google. I didn't have an email address when I was 17. I didn't have a frame of reference or a perspective. I'd never seen a college graduate until I was 18. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So it was unheard of for me to even want to go to college. So that was my, I didn't know about an ACT test. This was my opportunity. So I called 402-375-7000. A lady named Nancy answered the phone, and I was on from there. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So what about you, do you think, made you, when the guidance counselor told you, you should just go to trade school?
Yeah.
What about you made you say, hey, you know what? What little voice inside of you said, you know what? I don't think this is right. I think there's more for me out there.
I think it was...
Not that there's anything wrong with a trade school, by the way.
That's a fair point, right?
We're
or
not
the Army or whatever.
Yes,
that's a great career.
Absolutely, no.
That's a great question. I think it was my ignorance. I thought that I was going to go to the NBA, so I wasn't taking it. I'm going to the league. You can't tell me I'm not going to Michigan, but I didn't know the difference between a D1, D2, D3 college.
Right.
I mean, from all I knew, Wayne State was Notre Dame, you know? And I only played 1 year high school basketball, but in the streets, they thought I was was like Jordan. They was like, man, you know, you're amazing. So that's how ignorant I was. But that dream of wanting to go to the leagues kept me out of gangs, kept me from doing drugs. And so that like, I was in poverty, but I didn't have a poverty of imagination. And I think that's what kept me resilient.
And I just want to clarify here, especially about that trade school thing and whatever you decide. Mm-hmm. I think now, you know, I think there's been this traditional belief that everybody has to go to college.
Some
and that's not necessarily
college, right?
True,
yeah.
Especially with all the student loan debt that's out there right now. A lot of people, trade school works for them. Yeah. I think the issue is that anytime anybody, an authority figure, is telling a student that a part of the world is closed off to them is the issue, right?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And when I was 17 years old with the long chain and the braids, you know, I'm a different person than I was then. So she was giving me some nuggets there because I didn't come to school every day. But at the same time, you're right. It's like, you know, don't project your insecurities or whatever onto me. And you're
right. Her perception.
Yeah,
it
you know, when I graduated, you know, my first book, it was I was blessed to be published at 23. And I came back to the high school and gave the speech, and the guidance counselor was you know, she was crying, she was in tears, but that it was crazy how it worked out. So.
Hey, so you know, the reason I wanted to bring you on is because you're such a positive person. We're all about positivity here today on this Friday. You did something recently you've done this before. First of all, you've done Shovel in the Streets when people need it, because there's a lot of people in our city that aren't able to shovel their sidewalks, shovel their you know, their areas to get around. It seems like a basic thing, but a lot of people can't do it. And you decided to, you know, pull some resources together and light up King Drive, right?
Oh yeah, man. We lit up King Drive, every pole from 51st to 103rd.
Why'd you do this?
Well, I got tired of seeing just blue lights flashing from police cars, and I wanted the kids to see blue holiday lights. So my theory is, like, let's see some solar lights instead of surveillance cameras. Replace the militarization with some compassion. Mm-hmm. And so I was just going to do, like, one block. You know, I was like, let me do one block. And then I told a block club captain about it. And then everybody down King Drive to 51st reached out, like, what about me? So I said a prayer, and I went to Home Depot and bought his – I didn't know what garland was until a couple weeks ago. But
did you get the good kind, or did you get the outdoor stuff that really will wear and tear through the winter?
Yeah, I got the stuff that stays on for 6 hours and it's off 18, and it's like $49 a pop. But you know, it's 9 foot and then 12 foot. It's not like the ones you see on the poles in Edgewater. So hopefully the city.
Right. See, John's asking because we found out yesterday he will judge your decoration.
Yes. I judge Christmas lights. No, they look great.
But in all seriousness, I do cover neighborhoods for my series The Grid on the Chicago Sun-Times website. Okay. So. Okay. In the holidays is when you can really notice the difference in resources that neighborhoods have, because some neighborhoods are lit up. They look like a holiday card.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then other neighborhoods are dark.
Yeah. And, you know, I know some people were asking me, am I trying to compete with the Magnificent Mile? But look, like, metropolitan economies like Chicago rely on all types of labor for Michigan Avenue to be so magnificent, I think. And I was not trying to compete. I was trying to work with the block clubs down the strip of King Drive. And it was beyond the lights. It was actually about people of all different colors, genders, religions, opinions, ethnicities, occupations coming together on King Drive to do something positive in an area that needs it. I think that's the real impact of it.
I'm going to take a quick commercial break here, but Jamal, you're going to stick around. I want to talk more about your positivity and things you got coming forward. Quick commercial break here on 720 WGN. WGN, G and John bringing the positivity here on this Friday. And a lot of people might already be catching an early ride out to wherever they're going for the holiday. And we hope that you are feeling really good. I'm feeling good having Jamal Cole here in the studio. Jamal, I just had a text come in, by the way. This is not to embarrass you. 773. Jamal is my hero. I love my T-shirt. I'm so happy to have donated to Reindeer for their Christmas project. Keep up the amazing work. You must be blown away by the support you've gotten from a lot of people in the city.
Oh, yeah, man. The city shows my block, my hood, my city love. We try to return it like Devin Hester, man. It's just I'm so grateful and thankful. So thank you guys for all the support.
And also we had a text. Sorry, G, to interrupt. 317 says, my sister-in-law told me a story where the guidance counselor at her high school told her that she would need to marry rich in order to be successful. She's a college graduate with a double major and holds an MBA in nutrition. Amen. You go, girl. Don't let anyone ever tell you to go down. But again, Jamal, a lot of students, they're not getting the messages they need. That's no fault. I'm not trying to call it CPS or anything. It might be in their home life. It might be through media, the way we portray certain neighborhoods in the city. The more noise they can block out and just do their own thing, the better off they're going
to
be.
Oh, yeah, man. We got to teach kids how to set goals. A lot of kids don't know how to set their own goals, daily goals, weekly goals, personal goals, business goals, educational goals, family goals. You know, I always tell kids, if your dream isn't waking you up at 4 in the morning, the goal's not big enough. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to wake you up, and that's when you know you're going after it. And so I tell kids to dream big. If you want to be an astronaut, do that. But start with the small disciplines, and that allows you to develop the muscle it takes to take on bigger challenges.
Well, I mean, you dream big, and you've already accomplished a lot with your organization, but what is your ultimate goal? Like, where do you see this going? Where do you want it to be?
Yeah, I'm just trying to, like, every day is a battle between, like, inclination and obligation, I swear. I'm just trying to, keep faith and genuinely be a servant to society, because it's tough, man. You know, people see the tip of the iceberg with the marketing and the Facebook, but they don't see, you know, my wife having to go next door to put the hose on the neighbor's door to get water because our water gets shut off. You know, they don't see those kind of things. And everybody ain't built for this.
I was just talking to John about this before you came in. I said, I want to know about Jamal's personal life, because a lot of people think that, oh, when you give back to society, that it's an easy choice for you.
No.
But it is a sacrifice for you and your family and your lifestyle.
Yeah, you give up time with your family. I got a 5-month-old daughter and an 8-year-old daughter. I missed a lot of time with them. You know, my wife's done a lot more than her fair share of work. You know, we had our home foreclosed. You know, we've been through a lot. And so I think people see me on TV and they're like, oh, man, this life ain't for everybody. And if you're not willing to sacrifice your life for it, then fall back, because over time we're going to see who's consistent and who's not.
773 chimes in. Hey, I'm from Elmhurst. Suburbs love Jamal, too. And then they add my city, my block, my hood, my region. How, you know, people that are in the suburbs that may not encounter the differences in the stark segregation of our city and really how it is divided, how can people help? Because here, look, it's not only about taking kids to different neighborhoods, it's about us visiting neighborhoods that maybe we haven't been to before.
Facts. I mean, to truly make Chicago better, we need more people, young and old, to visit community areas outside their own. So look up from the cell phone when you're on the train and see what you can learn from different people or sites around you. Go get a bite to eat or get your nails done in a community you've never been to before. Have an appetite for adventure. Step outside your comfort zone. And I think that's how our city's going to become a more interconnected Chicago.
Can you share one story with us where you've been truly surprised by the impact that the organization has had on a young person?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, like, our students, everybody wants to talk about, you know, like data and impact, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Like, you know how many cell phone bills I pay, like Metro PCS's, and, you know, I go to kids' houses and all their lights are off. Sometimes I can't afford to pay my bill, but I'm paying cell phone bills. I think the impact is the students we drove students across the country to go to college. They were accepted in Chicago, but they stepped outside their comfort zone with us so much. They were comfortable going to Benedict College in South Carolina. I was proud of them because they tried out for the volleyball team and they didn't make it. But because they were persistent and didn't give up, they became managers on the volleyball team. So, and they were like, Jamal, you always told us not to give up and not to let this get us down. I was proud of them because guess what? They still get to travel with the team. They still get to learn work ethic. I'm really proud of that. Really, really proud of that.
It must just be, I mean, when we talk about shoveling driveways or putting up lights, to a lot of people that might seem little. Of course, you mentioned 50-some blocks. Nothing little about that. But do you think it's those tangible things that you do a couple of those things and everyone in the community, or at least a lot of people in the community, gather around it? It's those tangible everyday life things that then can cascade into changing a community.
Facts. I mean, my philosophy is democracy starts on the block. So if you ask some people in Chicago, you say, hey, man, why does your block look like this? They say, oh, man, the city is messed up. The weather is messed up. The politicians is messed up. They say the schools is messed up. I think their philosophy is messed up, because instead of blaming things on other people, you can say, what's something simple I can do? What can I make myself do today that'll have a positive impact on my block? And that's my philosophy.
Instead of relying on necessarily from top down that the government's going to come help us out in certain ways. Interesting.
Exactly, man. I mean, Robert Kennedy said, every time a man stands up with a new ideal, he creates a tiny ripple of hope, and together those ripples can create a wave of change that can knock down the mightiest walls of oppression. So what kind of ripple can you create on your block in Chatham that can maybe somebody creates a ripple in Pilsen, and they together over time it can create a wave that can make Chicago more interconnected?
I'm always amazed by people that have the least access to resources, how resourceful they are in terms of literally doing it themselves, pulling themselves up by their bootstraps, you know, and we take that for granted, especially folks that live in neighborhoods and areas where we do have a ton of resources, and we do call 311 and we get an immediate response. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's a fact of life that you've got to do it for yourself because nobody else is going to do it for you, right?
If you can make it in Chicago, you can make it anywhere in the world. Teenagers that grow up in under-resourced communities are very resilient. I tell them all the time, they've set in trends throughout the whole world. It's not regular for helicopters to be landing in your house at night. It's not regular for German shepherds to be sniffing you on the train on 79th Street every day. It's not regular to have to order breakfast through bulletproof glass windows every day. You got to be resilient and resourceful to make it out here.
I got a text from the 312. I imagine a lot of listeners feeling the same way. Maybe inspired by your words. It's the time of year where giving is important, and we don't want you to not have your lights on, although I'm sure you'll use any resources and donations to other people. But, Jamal, how can people help? How can people give back to help your cause?
Yeah, I would say I would love for them to just explore Chicago. You know, go to a community you've never been to before. If you want to support my organization, great. We're at formyblock.org. That's formyblock.org. And you can help, you know, sponsor a teenager to get them through the year of our Explorers program. We want you to, if you work in a business, you know, we want our, in my community, there's 15 currency exchanges and no banks. If you work in the finance industry, host our students on the exploration. We'll bring 15 kids to your bank, and so we want to learn about the job inside. We'll come to a chiropractor anywhere. We just want to expose these kids to more cultures, more professions, and more cuisines because they deserve it.
And, you know, somebody listening may not have the time, right? But you can donate a little money.
Right.
Directly, too.
That'd be great. Yeah, formyblock.org. You can definitely donate. We are a 501c3 organization, so everything is tax deductible. We survive by donations, and we got really great apparel, too. So we love to see y'all repping that.
It is awesome apparel. In fact, I was on the jam one day, and someone, you know how it happens when you're reporting live on location, someone comes up from behind you just to mess with you on air, and I turned around. I was so angry live on air, but he had a My Block, my
my set. That was awesome.
He was like, you're okay.
I was like, you're fine, but never do that again.
That was dope.
Jamal, thanks for stopping by, man. And give out that website one more time.
That's formyblock.org.
Have a great holiday.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to y'all, too.
We'll be right back.